me in the corner. That's me in the spotlight, losing my religion, trying to keep up you, and I don't know if I can do it.
Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, A Dad's Point of View. I am hoping that Dr. Janelle will call in any moment, but in the meantime, you are stuck with just little old me. I would like to continue a little bit with the actual topic, when is a lie, rather than go on back to the debate and politics. We will have more debates coming up. I am particularly curious and looking forward to it with great amusement, the debate between Paul Ryan and our current vice president. I somehow have this just strong feeling that there's going to be a sudden announcement of Biden needing some minor surgery or having a very, very bad case of strep throat the night before or the morning of. But if that happens, you can say you heard it here. The debate was quite interesting. I had a little off-air discussion with Pastor Drew, and he watched a post-debate commentary on one of the mainstream channels, which, of course, favors the current president no matter what he does. And I will be curious to hear other commentary. But he said even on ABC News, which is what he was watching, they couldn't help but concede that Obama did not quite deliver as might be expected. So when is a lie a lie? And I am a firm believer that there are very few absolutes, so that in relationships, in life, there are any number of situations where it may be wise to fudge the truth. Of course, by pure definition, we know anytime you don't tell the truth, that's a lie. But a very innocent example would be Santa Claus. Do you tell your 2, 3, 4, 5, 6-year-old that Santa Claus is not real and deny them the joy of the fantasy of Santa Claus? Do you, when they get to see all the movies that are about Santa Claus, do you burst that bubble? Same applies to maybe the Tooth Fairy and other things that happen. And then on a more harsher level, I remember on September 11th, the September 11th, watching what was going on the news. And my boys were quite young. I don't remember exactly what I told them, but I'm not sure I was explicit in any of the gory details, like people jumping to their death and or burning to death, and all the horrors that took place and what took place on the planes that the terrorists did to get control of them. I don't know that that was necessary. I did need to let them know that something horrible had happened that would affect our lives, that a lot of innocent people were killed, and who was the culprit, ultimately, when we were clear on that. Then we had the recent horror in Aurora, Colorado. If you had young kids, do you want to tell them details of it? All right, we have Dr. Janelle coming with us, so we will bring her aboard right now. Are you there, Dr. Janelle?
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me.
Well, it is a pleasure. I had the pleasure of meeting Dr. Janelle a couple times as part of the Friends of Ricky community. Ricky Lake has a new television show, and she created a social media community. And Dr. Janelle and I met not only at a promo filming event, but at the official launch of the show. So let me give you a little introduction. Dr. Janelle Gordon is a counselor, influencer, momager, business lady, author, producer, and all-around mogul mom. She dedicates herself to encouraging others by giving them the truth about their situation in a way that will leave a mark that cannot be erased. She manages her son's careers while managing her own. You can find out more about her at drjanelle.com. That's JEANELLE.com. drjanelle.com. Welcome to my show, Dr. Janelle.
Thank you again for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure. You are a fun person to interact with in real life. It's nice to know that I can actually picture you in my head and not picture a picture.
But that makes a difference.
Yeah, it does make a difference. And you you have a big personality. I love big personalities. In addition to being the man that I am, I love attractive women, and you are a stunning woman on top of it. Add that.
Thank
add
you.
Into it brains and accomplishment. I mean, you're the whole package, girl.
I try. You know, I work hard at it daily.
Well, it's clear you do.
And I
know you wanted to talk about step-parenting, so since we don't have a whole lot of time, I will stop complimenting you and telling you how beautiful and smart you are and let you go to the topic of step-parenting. Where would you like to go with that topic?
Well, the main thing, if I don't have anything else to say or any more time to say anything, my biggest thing is I just want to let step-parents know that, you know, a lot of the times the argument between step-parents and the biological parent is that they feel that the step-kids are treating them wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when in reality, I had to explain to my husband that, you know, when a kid is treating you disrespectful and with an attitude, don't get offended thinking they're treating you only you that way, because they're also treating the biological parent that way. And I had to point out to him that they weren't treating me any more special than they were treating him. They still got attitudes with me.
Mm-hmm.
They still disobeyed me. It's just that I didn't attach that I'm a step-parent to that situation, so I didn't take it personally that way.
Well, being in a step-parent situation myself, I completely agree and relate. I'm not the step-parent, but my wife is stepmom to my two boys,
mm-hmm.
and she did not have children prior to our marriage.
So neither did my husband.
Okay, so the only parenting experience she ever had was when she met my boys, who at that time were 10 and 13. And she has had, ironically, unlike what you've just said, she and I have had sort of opposite experiences, because my younger son gravitated towards her almost immediately. And
wow.
To some degree has been, you know, at odds with me. My older son, on the other hand, was highly suspicious of any woman because their mother left the family. He
right.
felt particularly hurt. He was older and felt it more directly and
mm-hmm.
felt more of a kinship with me. So I got to see both sides of exactly what you're saying. And
yeah.
so has my wife, because my older son took a long time to warm up to his stepmom.
Mm-hmm.
But she also got the joy of my younger son treating her like a goddess. So,
right.
But she's experienced both, and I at least could relate a little bit to what you said by virtue of the fact that my younger son still disses me nonstop.
Right.
So I can't imagine it being a whole lot worse if I were his stepdad.
Yes, and you know, because they're males and they're attached to their mothers, and I have to constantly explain to him they are not treating you like a stepdad. Even they tell him, if we're disrespecting you or you know, treating you rudely, it's because we love you. We treat mom like that too. They say that if we didn't talk to you at all, it would be a difference. And I know that it's hard on step parents. I do know. But as a biological parent and as a parent that was once a step parent as well in my first marriage, I didn't understand how to not take it personal.
Right.
That she
right.
was just treating me exactly the way she treated her biological mother and her father.
Hmm.
And when I
also, you've experienced it on every
yes,
end.
Yes, on
wow.
every end.
Wow.
And I started understanding, oh, okay, well, she walks away from him with attitude just like she does me.
Well, that's a very healthy place to eventually get to, and I think it's really, really good advice. Would you say, I mean, I'm a strong believer, and actually I've never discussed this with you, but I'm a strong believer in a shocking statement that men and women are different, and boys and girls are different. So
mm-hmm.
in regards to step-parenting, would you say for the step-mom or dad that there's a easier or harder time raising boys or girls?
I believe that it's harder I grew up in a family of girls.
Mm-hmm.
And because I think it really honestly depends on how you're wired. Now, obviously you got the children you got because, you know, someone felt you were capable of parenting that gender. But I know that it depends on how you're wired. Like, because my family argued a lot and was emotional, I just knew I didn't want girls. Because that's not how I'm wired.
And God heard, God heard you.
And God heard me. But on the other hand, everybody else in my family had girls, and they live, they thrive off of drama. And see, and I don't. So God knew to give me boys. And then, because my mother will tell me, God knew not to give me boys, because, girl, that is just too much. And I think it, and I think it depends, like I said, on how you're wired and how you look at it.
Well, I agree. I agree. I also, but I actually feel very strongly that different stages in the lives of boys and girls are harder for all parents, and especially step parents. And as you probably could even explain better than I, you know, we've learned in the last 20 years that the actual maturation of the brain is such that the teenage brain is just not even capable of certain decision making because the frontal lobe is not fully developed until their early 20s.
And that's exactly why I got into child psychology, because I learned when they gave me that little nugget, my whole outlook on teenagers changed.
It has to.
12 years, from 13 to 19. That's why I love that age group, because I don't take it personal now. I know your mind, when they ask, well, why? It's not because they want to be disrespectful. It's because their brain really wants to know why.
Yeah.
And people don't know that. I'm like, their brains are stretching. A part of their brain is forming right now that had never happened before.
Right. Plus, and that's the part of the brain that often gives them permission to do things they shouldn't be doing.
Yes.
Because they don't have that part of the brain that knows how to say no. And that's amazing. I mean, when I grew up, nobody would they think you were a witch doctor if you said something like that.
It's so true. It's so true. And I'm so glad that it's evolving. And people, you know, parents actually want to know how to parent. Now, granted, a lot of people ask me, why did I specialize in teens? Because they're like, oh, I'm so sorry. No, it's because I enjoy them. I really, really enjoy them because I know what they're going through. I can remember how I felt when that part of my brain was changing and how it even frightened me because I didn't know what was going on. I knew I was acting differently. And seeing when I counsel teens and parents with teens, I make a point to remind the parents, remember how we felt at this age.
It's a very
important. And sometimes we don't like to remember that, but it would help us parents and not take things personal.
Well, I actually think that would help all of us in all interactions in life. Very often we think somebody's done something to us when it has nothing to do with us.
Nothing to do with us.
So often.
I mean, we're not all that.
Yeah, we're not that important.
Exactly.
You know, listen, we're out of time, Dr. Janelle. Again, please let my listeners know where they can find you should they want to get your wisdom.
Well, listeners, you can find me at Dr. Janelle, that's DrJanelle.com. There you can find more information about what I do and what I can offer and how I can help you live a successful, happy life.
Excellent. By the way, my show is posted on my website right after we are done in a few minutes, so you can download this or any other portion of it. Thank you, Dr. Janelle. We will be back with closing remarks after these messages.
To illustrate my last remark, Jonah in the whale, Noah.